Joining us now are two political observers, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Hi.
Hello. Good to be with you.
And let's start this time with other people's politics. In the British elections, a big conservative surge, not enough for an outright victory. E.J., you see some lessons for others in that election?
Well, I think there are enormous lessons for American Republicans. I mean, Cameron understood early on.
This ahead of the Conservative Party.
Yes, I've been so into this that I think of him as Cameron. It's David Cameron, the leader of the Conservative Party, who's trying to become prime minister by negotiating with liberal Democrats. His genius was to accept that the future of conservatism depends on winning moderate and moderately progressive voters in the middle class. He shaved the rough edges off conservatism. He turned it into what conservatism ought to be, which is a stabilizing, unifying force. And what's interesting is he got 2 million more votes than the conservatives got the last time. Everybody talked about the Nick Clegg liberal Democrat surge. It didn't happen. But the liberal Democrats got almost 1 million votes more. But the conservatives managed to beat them and get close to a majority.
David Brooks, any relevance there to American conservatives?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to echo E.J. You know, Republicans live in the shadow of Ronald Reagan, and Tories live in the shadow of Margaret Thatcher. And he said Thatcher was right for the time when we had economic problems, but now we have a broken society, and so we have to be socio-centric, not econocentric. And so he had a lot of policies which were activist government policies to rebuild communities and families. And so it was softer, more toward the center. And I think it's the way the Republicans should move. They're not going to do it. And then finally, on the liberal Democrats, to me, you know, I now think for the first time in my life that there's a possibility for a third party in this country. Mm-hmm. And what the liberal Democrat experience shows, you may get a surge in the surveys, but maybe when people vote, they revert back to the big two.
Yeah, I don't see the same third-party possibility here right now. What was interesting is that Labor, I think the reason the conservatives didn't get a majority is that Labor held on to its bastions far better than people expected. And you really saw this split between the wealthy part of England near London and then the old parts that really got hurt by globalization up in the north. Scotland, actually, Labor did better than they did the last time.
Only one conservative seat in all of Scotland. David Brooks, a domestic story. We're still following the spill in the Gulf. Does it strike you as the kind of event, say, like the big Santa Barbara oil spill in 69, that it might actually change the way people think about drilling, energy, the environment?
Yeah, I don't think it'll have a big philosophical effect. We all know that every single energy source has a downside, whether it's drilling in the Gulf, whether it's drilling in Saudi Arabia, Alaska, coal mine disasters. It will have a narrow political effect, which is we have an energy bill rolling through the Senate, which had some chance of success. But now that offshore drilling is really in such bad odor, it's unlikely that liberals will want to pass a bill with offshore drilling. It's very unlikely Republicans will want to pass a bill without offshore drilling. And so I think it makes it very hard for us to get an energy bill this year.
E.J., agree with that?
I think there is a philosophical message when you look at the accident in the coal mine, the oil spill, and the questions it raises about how do you regulate offshore drilling, the Wall Street crisis. I think it suggests that you actually do need government after all. I was struck that when President Obama gave his commencement speech at the University of Michigan, he chose to turn a good part of that into a defense of government's role. And I think there is an opportunity here for people, and this includes moderates as well as liberals who believe in government's legitimate role, to say, you know, you can talk all you want in anti-government terms, but in the end, you need it. You need to have it there.
Well, I mean, you do need I agree you need government regulation for coal, for offshore oil drilling. But that's not where the argument is now. The argument is whether government should be 26% of GDP.
I want to ask you both about a member of Congress who announced his retirement this week and whom you've commented on in different ways, the two of you, understandably. David Obey of Wisconsin concluded that 40 years in the House of Representatives was enough. And he's not going to seek re-election. E.J., you've written very admiringly of Congressman Obey.
See, I know David didn't, and I want to be able to end, so I almost want to defer to him first. yeah, I did write
very... What makes you think I'm going to call on you again?
No, that's why I want my one shot at the end, so I can end on a positive note on David Obey, but I've lost that chance now. I love David Obey because he was a very serious, old-fashioned legislator. He could be very ornery. He could be ornery about his opponents, ornery about the press. But he was an old-fashioned progressive who cared a lot about using the tools you have to create a little bit more social justice. And he was an equal opportunity ornery guy. I was told that a reporter asked him Are you dropping out because of your difficult relations with the press? And he replied, what makes you think you're that important?
He was chairman of the Appropriations Committee. David, you, at the end of last year, called him one of the culprits responsible for us not having the great bipartisan tone in Washington that had been hoped for.
Yeah, and that's a vivid memory for me. Obama comes in promising us a new tone, promising to change government. One of the first acts is a stimulus bill, which we needed to have. But the way it was done was extremely destructive. I remember sitting and watching a House markup of the House Appropriations Bill of the stimulus package, and David Obie completely shut out the Republicans, not even in a nice way, in a rude and ruthless way. And that was a sign that Obama could come in with the promise of a new politics, but there were still some old bills on Capitol Hill who were going to behave just as old bills of both parties behave, which is not sharing.
And what was behind the scenes, Obie actually put some Republican stuff into that stimulus bill, which they didn't talk about very much.
You gave him the rebuttal. Totally unfair.
I seized it.
He seized the day. E.J. Dionne, David Brooks, thanks a lot.
Thank you.